Imagine waking up to a local news headline claiming that 611 brand new housing units are suddenly dropping right into your backyard.
Right, just totally out of nowhere.
Exactly. I mean, if you own rental property, flip houses, or you're just, you know, trying to time the sale of your primary home in the Winston-Salem-Kernersville area, that headline just hit the papers.
And your heart probably skipped a beat.
Oh, absolutely. You read a number like 611 units coming in 2026, and your immediate instinct is to panic.
Yeah, panic about an incoming flood of competition, right?
Right. You're thinking this is going to crash your property values and force you to slash your rents.
Which is a terrifying thought for any local investor.
Totally. But what if I told you that the panic sweeping through the local investor community right now is based on a total illusion?
A complete misread of the situation.
Yeah. So, welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, our mission is to take this massive, buzzworthy real estate development story out of North Carolina's Triad region and dissect exactly what it means for your financial strategy.
Because the devil is always in the details with these things.
Okay, let's unpack this. The local papers, like the Triad Business Journal, are plastering the word approved all over these 611 units.
What's fascinating here is how fast those headlines run completely ahead of reality, creating this false sense of finality.
It sounds like a done deal when you read it.
Right. But based on our source material, we're looking at a highly detailed breakdown by Teresa Overcash.
And she's a veteran real estate broker.
Right, exactly. 30 years of experience, over 10,000 North Carolina closings. So she knows how this works. And based on her data, that word approved is doing a monumental amount of heavy lifting for something that hasn't actually happened yet.
Wait, really? The papers are just getting it wrong.
Well, it's more that we have to separate legislative time from physical time. On August 13th, 2026, the Winston-Salem and Forsyth County Planning Board only recommended approval for these multifamily zoning cases.
Oh, a recommendation, not a final stamp.
Precisely. A recommendation is, you know, nothing more than a bureaucratic green light to move to the next stage.
It's like your realtor saying, hey, this offer looks good, but the seller hasn't signed it.
Great analogy. The final rezoning vote still has to clear either the Winston-Salem City Council or the Forsyth County Board of Commissioners.
Wow, okay.
So the headline writes the check, but the local government hasn't actually cashed it yet.
Which means if you're out there making six-figure investment decisions based on a newspaper editor's choice of verbs, I mean, you are setting yourself up for failure.
You're definitely going to make some costly mistakes.
Right. So before you start restructuring your portfolio or, you know, slashing your asking prices, you have to know exactly what is being built and where.
Location is everything. And they got that wrong, too.
They really did. Because diving into the data, the headlines didn't just misrepresent the approval status. They completely botched the location and the impact.
Yeah, let's talk about the Brickberry Farm rumor.
Oh, man, that was wild. The original reporting sparked this massive panic that a huge chunk of this development was hitting the luxury Brickberry Farm community in western Winston-Salem.
People are freaking out.
I bet. It's like hearing a massive commercial farming operation is buying the lot next door, and you start panicking that their industrial tractors are going to crush your little neighborhood tomato stand.
Right. You think your whole ecosystem is ruined.
Exactly. But then you look at the actual blueprints, and it turns out they're just planting a single window box of basil. It doesn't disrupt the ecosystem at all.
That is spot on. The reality of Brickberry Farm in this scenario is exactly a window box of basil.
So what's actually going in there?
They are only getting a project called Rosewind Townhomes. The whole hysteria was over a tiny 12-unit addition sitting on 1.8 acres.
Wait, 12 units? That's it?
That's it. We are talking about four little three-unit buildings at the corner of Rosewind Lane and Red Tail Lane.
Inside a community that's already huge.
Right. Inside an existing master plan community where, you know, custom homes already start around $500,000.
So it's basically a rounding error.
Pretty much. The zoning change they requested is super minor, shifting from a dual zoning code to a unified mixed-use special designation.
Which just allows for those specific townhomes.
Right. It allows for the specific micro footprint. It is an internal cosmetic addition. It does not change the community character, the traffic patterns, or the resale trajectory of Brickberry Farm in any meaningful way.
So if you own a home there or in one of the adjacent HOAs, you shouldn't alter a single financial calculation over 12 townhomes.
Not a single one. Just ignore the noise.
Okay, so If BrickBerry is just a blip on the radar, we need to track where the real volume is actually going.
Yes, because the numbers have to add up to 611 somewhere.
Right, and it looks like 588 of these 611 units are concentrated in just two massive entry-level projects.
Yep, the undisputed heavy hitter here is Universal at Pecan Lane.
Yeah, the Pecan Lane project, that one is huge.
It's 336 townhomes landing right on the border of Winston-Salem and Kernersville off Pecan Lane and Solomon Drive.
I mean, that is functionally a small town dropping out of the sky.
It really is.
We aren't talking about luxury custom builds anymore. We are talking about hundreds of new rental and entry-level options hitting a very specific commuter corridor.
And the scale of Universal at Pecan Lane is staggering, you know? Understanding that scale is crucial to understanding why the headlines are wrong about the timeline.
Let's get into that. Who's building it?
Developers Mark Davis and Gary T. Angel are taking 35 acres of raw land and rezoning it from single-family to multifamily.
35 acres? Wow.
Yeah, and they are pushing the density to about 10 units per acre.
That's tight.
It is. And when a developer builds 336 units, they aren't just showing up with wood and drywall.
Right, they can't just throw up some frames and call it a day.
No, they have to carve out 643 parking spaces. They have to build a pool, a playground, a dog park, and a community building.
All the amenities.
Exactly. Plus, they have to lay miles of underground sewer lines, water taps, and stormwater retention ponds before a single foundation is even poured.
That is a massive civil engineering project.
It is. And the second major piece of this puzzle is the new Greensboro apartments.
Right, the apartment complex.
Yeah, by Randall S. Burnett. That's another 252 units sitting on 32 acres along North Greensboro Road near Salem Lake.
Okay, so this gives us a massive aha moment.
How so?
Well, headlines report zoning approvals as this sudden flood, but construction reality delivers that supply as a really slow drip.
That's a great way to put it.
And we have a highly localized entry-level supply injection focused almost entirely on the Pecan Lane and Salem Lake corridors.
Right. It is not a blanket wave washing over the entire Triad region.
Not at all. But, you know, knowing where these 588 units are concentrated is totally useless without knowing when the moving trucks actually arrive.
The timeline is everything for an investor.
Yeah, because the headline screamed, coming in 2026. If I'm an investor listening to this, I'm looking at my calendar and thinking, the sky's falling right now.
Gotcha.
But wait, so if I'm an investor freaking out about all this competition hitting the market today, am I just wasting my energy? Like, is it like stressing about a dinner guest who isn't arriving until next Tuesday?
Yes. Stressing about these units hitting the market and cannibalizing your tenants in 2026 is a fundamental misunderstanding of how real estate development works.
Because it just takes longer.
It physically cannot happen that fast. I mean, let's walk through the actual mechanism of turning raw land into a housing development.
Talk me through it.
Okay, so we established the planning board recommendation happened in August 2026, right?
Yep, just recently.
Well, the elected body final rezoning vote takes another 30 to 90 days, which pushes us into late fall 2026.
Okay, so now we're in the winter practically.
Exactly. And once they have that zoning paper in hand, they can't just unleash the bulldozers the next morning.
Right, they still need permits.
Yeah, they have to submit highly detailed site plans to the civil engineers and the city. They have to figure out where the water goes, how the topography handles rain runoff, and, you know, where the 8 new roads connect to the existing infrastructure.
That sounds like a lot of red tape.
It's a ton. Wow. Getting those utility permits approved takes them through winter 2026 and well into spring 2027.
So they spent an entire year just fighting with paperwork and drawing maps before a single shovel hits the dirt.
Literally. And moving dirt takes an immense amount of time. Grading a 35-acre site to make it perfectly level for 30 separate buildings will consume the summer and fall of 2027.
Wow, just flattening the ground takes months.
It does. So the first vertical construction, actually framing the buildings so they look like houses, doesn't realistically start until early 2028.
2028, not 2026.
Exactly. The most critical takeaway for you as a listener today is this. Absolutely nothing from these major projects will hit the local MLS or the rental market before mid to late 2028.
That is a massive shift in perspective.
And the full build-out of a 336-unit site like Universal, that stretches well into 2029 and 2030.
Because they can't flood their own market.
Right. They build them in phases, releasing maybe 20 or 30 units a month so they don't crash their own rental rates.
Which means the current market environment we are standing in today is the only reality landlords need to worry about for the next 12 to 24 months.
That is the reality.
And today's reality is incredibly tight. I mean, Winston-Salem is sitting on roughly 3 months of housing supply.
It's very low.
And Kernersville is even tighter at 2.5 to 3 months. A balanced market is usually around 6 months, right?
Generally, yeah, about 6 months is balance.
So these 611 units are not coming to save the market for desperate renters today, nor are they coming to ruin the listings of local landlords tomorrow.
Exactly. The low inventory environment is your playing field until 2028, which forces a strategic pivot for anyone holding property in these corridors.
So what does this all mean? Like, for the listener who owns a handful of single-family rentals or a small duplex near Pecan Lane, let's build the specific investor playbook.
I love that. Let's do it.
Think of it like playing a high-stakes game of musical chairs.
Okay, I follow.
You're circling the chairs right now, the music is playing, the market is tight, and life is good. But you have insider knowledge that in exactly 2 years, 588 brand new, shiny chairs are going to be dropped right into the middle of your specific dance floor.
Right.
How do you play the music differently today, knowing that drop is coming?
Well, you must immediately adjust your future financial projections, starting with rent growth.
Okay, so tempering expectations.
Exactly. Historically, when a market is undersupplied, like the Triad has been since 2022, landlords get used to pushing rents up by 5 or 8% every single year.
Because tenants have nowhere else to go.
Right. But adding 336 townhome rentals and 252 apartments into that 2028 window will drastically change the entry-level competition.
The renters are finally going to have options.
Real options. Shiny new construction options with dog parks, pools, and, you know, zero deferred maintenance.
Yeah, a 1990s house can't compete with a brand new pool.
Exactly. If you own an older 1990s era single family rental down the street from Universal, you cannot assume you'll keep driving rents up at historical rates.
Your model is going to break.
It will.
Yeah.
Your rent growth assumptions past 2028 need to be softened significantly in your spreadsheets right now.
And that softening doesn't just impact the monthly cash flow hitting your bank account. It directly impacts your relationship with the bank itself.
The financing side. Yes.
Let's look at that. If I hold a commercial loan on a small multifamily property and my balloon payment is coming due, I have to go refinance.
And the underwriter is going to look closely at your numbers.
Right. They are going to look at my debt service coverage ratio, or DSCR. Basically, they want to know if the rent coming in safely covers the new mortgage going out.
It's all about that safety margin.
Yeah. So if my current rent is $1,500, but in 2028 I have to drop it to $1,300 just to compete with the brand new apartments at Salem Lake, my safety margin vanishes.
It evaporates.
And then the bank gets nervous and my loan terms get worse, or I get denied.
That's the reality. Running your DSCR models on yesterday's lack of competition is a recipe for a denied loan. You must bake that 2028 supply wave into your current refinance strategy.
So what's the alternative if you don't want to refinance under those conditions?
Which leads directly into the ultimate decision. Exiting the market entirely.
Just selling the properties.
Yeah. If you don't want to compete with these new amenity-rich projects, you have to look closely at your cap rate assumptions.
The capitalization rate, meaning the rate of return a buyer expects when they purchase your rental property.
Exactly. When 588 new units hit the market, overall rental income in that corridor stabilizes, which can suppress the resale value of older investment properties.
So if my five-year plan was to sell my portfolio in 2029...
You're planning to sell at the exact moment the market is flooded with new inventory.
Ouch. The smartest move would be to sell into what we call the pre-delivery window.
Which is literally right now, 2026 and 2027.
So you offload your portfolio while the market is still starving for inventory.
Yes.
While we are sitting at 3 months of supply, and you capture today's premium pricing. Let the next buyer worry about competing with Universal at Pecan Lane.
That is the play. Offloading during the pre-delivery window is the quintessential example of using localized data to beat the broader market trends.
It's brilliant. You leverage the current scarcity before the highly publicized supply actually materializes.
Exactly.
But let's look at the other side of the coin.
Okay.
What if I don't care about cap rates or debt service ratios because I'm not an investor?
Right. You just live there.
Yeah. If smart investors are taking this advice and listing their properties during this 2-year pre-delivery window, that means more houses are hitting the market locally.
That's
so if I'm a regular family looking to buy or sell a primary residence today, how does that impending 2028 supply wave and the investor exodus affect my daily life?
Well, the impact on the traditional residential market is completely bifurcated. It depends entirely on your price bracket.
Let's break down the seller's side first.
Sure. If you are selling a smaller detached home under $300,000, or maybe a townhome in that Winston-Salem and Kernersville corridor, you are selling the exact product type that Universal and New Greensboro are building.
You're in direct competition.
Direct competition. Universal will eventually pull first-time buyers and entry-level renters out of the existing housing stock and into their new construction.
So what should those sellers do?
Your selling window as an entry-level homeowner is drastically stronger now, before mid-2028.
Beat them to the punch.
Right. If you are planning to sell in the next 24 months to upsize or relocate, do not stall. List and close before that new developer supply gives your potential buyers a shiny new alternative.
Makes total sense. But what if I'm selling a much bigger house? Say I own a detached 4-bedroom single-family home priced over $400,000. Does the 600-unit shadow loom over my listing too?
You can breathe easy on that one.
Really? No impact?
Very little. High-density townhomes and apartments serve a completely different buyer pool than move-up detached single-family buyers.
Okay, that makes sense. A family looking for a 4-bedroom house with a yard isn't cross-shopping a new apartment.
Exactly. Your comparable sales, the comps that appraisers use to value your home, are largely insulated from this.
So what's the advice for them?
The actionable advice for you is to price your home to the reality of your specific higher-end micro market. Do not offer price reductions or concessions based on fear of a multifamily project that is 24 to 36 months away and serving a totally different demographic.
Stick to your guns. That covers the sellers beautifully. But I see a massive psychological trap here for current buyers.
The wait-and-see trap.
Yes. Human nature dictates that when you read a headline screaming that 611 new units are hitting the market, your immediate thought is, I'll just wait.
The market's going to cool down.
Right. This massive flood of supply is going to cool the market down, and I'll get a much better deal on a house if I just wait a year.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, waiting for a localized supply drop to artificially suppress regional home prices is a fundamental mistake.
Why is it a mistake?
Buyers must act on today's economic fundamentals. The numbers dictate the strategy here. The Winston-Salem median sale price right now is hovering around $297,000.
And it's climbing.
It is. Kernersville is running even warmer, with a median of $315,000. You are looking at a vibrant market that is already absorbing thousands of transactions a year.
So the 611 units won't really make a dent in the overall median price.
Not enough to justify putting your life on hold, deferring a good deal today while paying rent or living in a home that doesn't fit your needs, in the hope that 588 units 3 years from now will crash the local median price. It's a gamble you will almost certainly lose. The cost of waiting, you know, factoring in lost equity and potential appreciation, far outweighs the theoretical discount of a future supply glut.
Especially considering the broader geography of the Triad.
Yes, exactly. The Triad is not a geographically restricted landlocked squeeze like Charlotte or major coastal cities.
There's plenty of room to build.
Tons of room. Forsyth and Guilford counties have vast tracts of developable land and thousands of other housing units in the entitlement and permit pipeline slated for 2027 through 2030.
So there's always going to be something coming down the pike.
Right. The macro supply story is so much bigger than just these 611 units.
So what should a buyer focus on?
When you are buying a home, you should compare Winston-Salem and Kernersville on today's concrete fundamentals. The quality of the schools, the length of the commute, the local tax rates, and the current inventory.
Not some headline about a zoning board.
Right. You should never pick your submarket or delay your family's life based on a single pending zoning case that hasn't even poured a cubic yard of concrete yet.
Here's where it gets really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
When you strip away the sensational headlines and the clickbait panic, the 611 unit story isn't a market crashing flood at all.
Not even close.
It is a highly localized entry-level supply wave hitting specifically in 2028. And for you, the listener, understanding that mechanism creates a perfect, highly predictable 2-year window of opportunity.
It's all about timing.
Yeah.
Oh.
It gives local landlords the breathing room to optimize their portfolios, run their debt service coverage ratios against softer future rents, or exit at an absolute premium during the pre-delivery window.
Maximize the current scarcity.
Exactly. It tells entry-level sellers to move their timelines up and cash out now, and it tells buyers not to pause their lives for a distant bureaucratic mirage.
It's the profound difference between reacting emotionally to a headline and acting strategically on ground truth.
So well said.
It really highlights the ultimate power of understanding the physical and financial mechanisms behind the news. But, you know, this raises an important question, something that goes far beyond just calculating cap rates and timing listing windows for residential homes.
Ugh. Where else should we be looking?
Well, think about it. If the Winston-Salem and Kernersville corridor is purposefully absorbing thousands of new commuter-friendly, moderate-income households over the next few years, starting with these 588 units at Pecan Lane and Salem Lake, how will the very identity of this region shift?
That's a huge influx of people.
It is. When hundreds of new families move into a concentrated area, they aren't just bringing rent checks for the landlords.
Right, they have lives. Needs.
Exactly. They are bringing daily lifestyle needs. Will this sudden influx of density create entirely new, highly lucrative secondary investment opportunities?
Like what?
I'm talking about the commercial side. Neighborhood retail plazas, drive-through coffee shops, dry cleaners, urgent care clinics, or flex commercial spaces.
Oh, wow. Because all those new people need places to shop and eat.
Right. If the residential market is going to be saturated by 2028, the truly savvy investors might be looking past the housing play entirely.
They're pivoting.
Yep. They are scouting the dirt on the next corner over, preparing to build the businesses where all these new residents are going to spend their money.
That is the ultimate chess move. Not just asking where people will sleep in 2 years, but asking where they will buy their groceries once they wake up.
It's the next logical step.
That's a powerful framework to seriously mull over if you're mapping out the triad's future. The housing headlines are really just the first domino to fall.
And you want to be there for the second and third.
Understanding which way it falls and what it knocks over next is everything. Keep questioning those headlines. Keep digging into the physical timelines behind the zoning codes. And as always, thank you for joining this deep dive.